Good morning, everybody.
So I guess I can just say a prayer and say amen and go home, because Shelly's been preaching the last few weeks. I don't know if you guys have picked up on that. She's trying to steal my job. Anyway, today we're starting a new series called Toxic. And so what we're going to talk about for the next few weeks, just to kind of give you some foreshadowing, is a lot of times we allow things to get inside of our heads and inside of our minds and our beliefs and our thoughts and the way that we feel that are toxic. And this whole idea really came to life for me this week, kind of over the course of this week. Sometime over the weekend, last weekend, I got bit by a spider. You ever been bit by a spider? Or if you've ever seen Megaman, a spider, right? So I got bit by a spider, didn't think anything of it, no big deal. So Saturday, I was like, oh, I've got a little bite on my leg, whatever. Like, if you're a dude, you know what I'm talking about. You'll have, like, this massive cut on your arm, and you're like, I don't know when it happened. Just pouring blood all over the place. I don't know what happened, but... And so, didn't think anything of it. Woke up the next day, my leg was like twice its normal size. So I'm running around the birthday party like, trying to act all normal. So I get home Sunday night, and it's just gargantuan, which was cool, because I was like, man, I wish my calves were always this big. Typical male response, right? And all is well. I'm thinking, it'll go down, not a problem. Got up the next day, and then I see this red line running up my leg. It looks like it's following a vein. I'm like, I'm fixing to die. Like, I mean, it's going straight to my heart. It's over. Done. So Shelly's like, you're going to the doctor. So we went to the doctor, and he gave me a shot. And if you know anything about, like, steroid shots and antibiotic shots, they give them right in the butt. And it does not feel fantastic, right? It's these gargantuan needles. And anyway, so I did all of that. And it was interesting. I guess it was ironic that we're doing a series about toxic. And I had my own little struggle with this toxic, venomous spider this week. And so I think it just gave me a little bit of insight as to how this works. Sometimes we don't even realize where stuff comes from, where our thoughts come from, where our feelings come from. It comes seemingly out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden, you've got a problem on your hands, right? Have you ever had a situation like that where, man, you don't know where those thoughts came from, or you don't know where your feelings came from, or you don't know where this attitude came from, and then it just, boom, it just comes out, and you're like, oops, right? Anybody else? Man, I don't know if you guys have ever done that. I feel like I've done that, and you're looking at me like you've never done that. Okay, so maybe we need to rethink this series a little bit. And I think that's the way that it works. It's very similar. It's like maybe we don't know the source or the root or when exactly it is that we got bit by the spider, but all of a sudden now we've got this toxin inside of us, and we need to deal with it. And the solution is an antivenin. I thought it was antivenom, but apparently antivenin is the appropriate medical terminology. Everybody, any medical students in the room? Good, I can get away with what. Is that correct, antivenin? Not according to Wikipedia, yeah. clearly that is the educational superior, whatever, right. Yeah, typo. No, it's a problem. It's a good word. You can look it up later. So anyway, you've got to deal with it. You've got to have an antivenom or an antivenin to kind of combat or countermeasure all of the toxic stuff going on in your life. And I was just thinking about how that works for us. And so this week, what we're going to talk about are toxic thoughts. Has anybody ever had any toxic thoughts? You know what I think? I think that most of us, our biggest struggles in our lives aren't with other people. It's not with, you know, your boss or, you know, your friend who's annoying or, you know, like, it's not with other people. Most of our biggest struggles in life are with the 6-inch mass between our ears, mass, our brains, our minds, our thoughts. Usually, and for me, that's definitely the case. That's where my biggest struggles are, because that's where my greatest limitations are. That's where my greatest fears are born. That's where my greatest doubts are born. Is right up here, not from somebody else. It's not a conflict with anybody else. That's my greatest problem. My greatest problem is me, right? It's the man in the mirror. So we're going to talk about our toxic thoughts and kind of the way to provide a solution or an antivenom for that. And so, like I said, we've all dealt with this on some level, and it's probably everybody's greatest struggle. Our minds have this way of creating turmoil and negativity. Have you noticed? I don't know if you're like this, and maybe this is telling of me, but I talk to myself way more negatively than I talk to myself positively. When I do something good, I'm like, it's about time, right? But if I do something bad, it's like, you stupid idiot. Am I the only one, right? It's just think about the way that we praise ourselves is not really a praise, but the way that we berate ourselves is just vicious. We hate ourselves. We're hard on ourselves. We crack the whip on ourselves. Not everybody, some of you probably love yourself a little too much, but that's another story for another day. And so our minds are just, they're kind of like that. They have this way of creating turmoil and negativity, and it's a battlefield that can be treacherous and fatal if we're not careful, if you don't know how to walk through the minds of the battlefield, you're going to get blown up, right? And so we just got to understand that it's there and how to do it. And this is the real danger. This is the real kind of thing to be aware of when it comes to our minds and toxic thoughts, is that ultimately what you think is what you'll do. So if you think wrong, eventually at some point you'll do wrong. If you think right, eventually, it may take you a few tries, but at some point, you'll do right. You know what I'm talking about? We call it stinking thinking, right? And if you live in a life or have a life of stinking thinking, you probably live a life of stinking living, right? And you just make stupid decisions because you think stupid thoughts. But if you think about the right things, that's why, man, so many times in the Bible, it tells us about focusing and meditating and having our attention on the right things. Because what we think about determines what we do. Thank you, Shelly. Fills in the blanks. Well, there'll be a spot for you later. So rather than dealing with kind of just generalities and saying, hey, control your thoughts, because, I mean, that would be easy. We're going to talk about a specific toxic thought today that's going to be really offensive to everybody, and we're all going to get butt hurt and go home happy, right? Something that I think that we're all probably confronted with or need to be confronted with from time to time is, most of us, we don't live at a level of contentment that we should live at. Like, I think that's, for whatever reason, you can say it's the American way. I just think it's a human condition that's very opposing to who it is that God wants us to be. Because if you read Scripture, just read the Bible, and I don't see anywhere in there that kind of condones or says it's okay to be greedy or so ambitious that you use people or abuse relationships to get what it is that you want to get out of them. It's not in there. And so I just don't think that we have, in general, the level of contentment in our lives that we should have. And that's not just money. That can be relational contentment, or it can be contentment with respect to material things. And like, we just always want more. And here's the problem with more. More never satisfies. More never fulfills. Because if it did, you would be satisfied, because when you wanted more and you got more, then you should be satisfied. But you're not, because you want more. Like, there's this emptiness inside that you think more things will fulfill, or more this or that will fulfill, and it won't. The only thing that will fulfill that is Jesus. Preacher. I just did. And so what we're going to talk about, if you guys won't do it, I'll do it myself, right? So we're just going to talk about contentment a little bit and some of the toxic thoughts that we have concerning contentment. Failure to be content can be one of the greatest and most lethal enemies to your life. You'll never experience peace or joy if you're always in pursuit of the next thing, the next paycheck, the next job, the next car, the next house, the next relationship, the next. It's a moving target. You can't hit a moving target. I mean, I guess you can if you're really accurate, but you're not that good. And I'm not that good, right? If your focus is always on the next thing, you never take time to appreciate what you've got right in front of you. You know, I've done this before. I was driving down the road one time, and I was looking so far ahead that I almost hit something right in front of me. And that's probably, I'm a really good driver most of the time. Drive fast, take chances, use your tall finger, all of those things. That's a joke, people, a joke. A good one, but it's a joke. And so, if you're always looking so far off into the future, if you were here and you could do this and you had this, you're missing what's right in front of you, and it could be bad, right? But most of the time, we've got so many good things in our hand, but we're not worried about what's in our hand. We're worried about what our eyes can see. And if we would just take some time to be content, then I think we would live lives of fulfillment and happiness and peace and joy and all of these things that the Bible tells us that are available to us. This is strong. I'm coming in hot. Get ready. I was giving you an opportunity to shield yourself or something, right? If you can't find contentment with what you have, It's not because what you have isn't good enough. It's because you've got a heart problem. Right? If you can't find contentment with what you've got right now, it's not because what you have is not good enough. It's because you have a heart problem. It's because you have a thought problem. It's because you have an entitlement problem. You've built this idea in your head that what you have isn't worthy of you and you deserve more. And that's just not true. That's not true. You deserve exactly what you've got at the moment that you've got it, right? Like, and here's the deal. Like, I believe that God blesses people. I believe that God wants to take care of us as his children. But if you're never appreciative of what you got, why in the world would he give you more? I mean, I can't imagine as a father, man, I get frustrated sometimes, and I try to be so patient because I'm like, my son is, he's young, he's very kind and gracious, but sometimes I'm like, child, you know? And it's like you give them something, and they kind of like, oh, that's cool, what else? And I'm like, oh, no, you better appreciate that, or I'll take it back. We're going back to Walmart, and we're done, right? And so here's the toxic thought that I think most of us have dealt with, we've wrestled with in our heads, and it's this. If only blank. If only you fill in the blank for your life. If only I had her job. If only I lived in that neighborhood. I've done that a couple of times. I'm like, ooh, the house, man. It's got the nice pencil tree holly thingies, right? Pencil holly tree? Is that what it is? They're fancy, right? If only I drove that car. If only I had that dude's muscles. If only I looked like her or had her hair. Or I mean, we can do stupid. I do. This is one of the stupid ones that I do. If only they were my parents. Usually with respect to Archie Manning. Just telling you, I'm mostly serious about that, but anyway. How many times have we done that? If we've said, if only, and we've kind of built this expectation in our head, and what it does is it limits our ability to appreciate where it is that we're at because we're focused on something else. And it seems kind of innocent. It seems kind of like, it's not really that big of a deal. And so I think it is a big deal because if you have the greener pastures mentality, right, the grass is always greener on the other side, which it's not. It's not. Do you know where green grass grows? Around the sewer. For whatever it's worth. Having a greener pastures mentality, this is what it does. It debilitates your ability to appreciate what you have right now. If you don't appreciate what you've got, if you're always focused on what you don't have, you can't appreciate what you've got right now. And that's dangerous, man. Appreciate what it is that you've got, who it is that you're doing life with, who it is that God has put in your path, the opportunities that he has put in front. And that's the thing. Here's the deal. If you're living in the world and you don't believe in God, it's a free-for-all for you. You do whatever the heck you want to do. But for us, as followers of Jesus, like, that's our foundation. And everything we believe, if he is in control of everything, then everything that you have is because he's in control of it. Right? And so that's got to be kind of the basis of our understanding and foundation. And so I think it's important. More importantly than not just appreciating what you have and where you're at, I think it's important to kind of think about it like this. Imagine the message that you send to God when you don't appreciate what you've got. Just think about that for a minute. How many of you guys have ever given somebody a gift and you didn't get the response that you kind of anticipated? And you're like, last time I get you a good gift. You guys aren't as vindictive as I am, apparently. Just imagine if you got somebody a gift. Say you got a friend a gift or your child a gift or whatever. And they opened it up and like you're more excited maybe than they are because you know it's a good gift and you are really excited about the gift that you gave them. You give them the gift. They rip into it. They open it up and they're like, oh, I wanted the deluxe model, but thanks, right? I wonder how many times we do that to God. It's like, oh, yeah, I mean, my life is good. I mean, I really would like the deluxe model. I'd really like to live here, drive here, have this car, and look like this, and be like this, and all of these things that I don't have, but thanks for my life, right? And I think, man, it's just kind of a slap in the face to God to not be content with where you're at. Here are a few things that the Bible says about this. We talked about this one a few weeks ago, but it's so good. We just did a revisit, right? Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, it says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. Paul talks about how he's been on both sides of the spectrum. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. And then you get the famous Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. But it's, if you skip verse 12 and jump straight to 13, you're missing the point. Like it's so much about being content with where you're at, with having everything and having nothing, and with being hungry and impoverished and being wealthy and having all the food you could possibly eat. Contentment on both sides of the spectrum. And so the message for us, man, you can do anything and everything through Christ, but you got to do it with contentment. You need to be appreciative of where it is that you're at. I think if we could live our lives like that, I suspect the world would be a better place. Could you imagine what it was like if people walked around with an element of appreciation and contentment for the lives that they've been given, and we didn't walk around, because this is what we do, like just humans in general, not us, not, you know, our church, you guys never do any of the things I talk about. I'm talking about other people, right? But this is what we do. We kind of use people to get ahead in life. We kind of use situations. Everything for us is a stepping stone to the next thing, and we'll do whatever it takes to get to the next thing. But imagine if you had people that were actually appreciative of the thing that they were in that was in front of them at the moment before they went on to the next thing. It would just change everything. I think people would be less greedy. I think it would even have an effect on our health. We'd have less strokes and less heart attacks because we'd be less, you know, crazy ambitious. Ambition is awesome. Go and do fantastic things, but appreciate where you're at as you're being ambitious. Is that a good precursor, right? So rather than using everyone and everything as a stepping stone to your next chapter, value and appreciate every experience and every relationship. Here's another one straight from the mouth of Jesus, right? You can't really argue with that. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and 26. It says this. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. And we should just wake up every morning and tell ourselves that. Go look in the mirror and be like, homie, do not worry about your life. Like, stop fretting and stop worrying about this and stop watching the news, for God's sake, because, like, you're going to have a heart attack watching all of these bad things. Focus on some good things every once in a while. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, which... does that mean we don't have to go to the gym anymore? We don't have to work out? We can eat whatever we want? I don't think it's saying all that. What you will wear, is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? And this is what it said. This is so true, because if you've ever watched birds, they've got it. They figured it out. It says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? They just, doo-doo, right? Just flying around until Donovan shoots them. That was coming. You knew it was coming. But man, they've got it figured out. Like, they just seem so happy and so content, and they just, you know, flutter away. And they don't have to worry about what their next meal is going to look like or where they're going to go and what they're going to do. And God takes care of them. That's the message. God takes care of them. And then it finishes with, are you not much more valuable than they? The answer is kind of, it's a rhetorical question. Of course, you're much more valuable than the birds of the sky. Like, you are the apple of God's eye. You are his prized possession. So he will absolutely take care of you. So there's got to be an element of trust. And with that trust comes contentment, because you know that he's good and you know that he's in control. So you're okay with whatever your lot is at the moment. Like, it's trust that he's going to take care of you. And with that comes contentment. I think there's a really powerful truth in there for us, a lot of them, but one specifically. And it's just, again, do not worry. Because contentment and worry, it's very difficult for them to coexist. If you're always worried about what you have or what you don't have or what they're doing and what you're not doing, and stop comparing yourself, God Almighty, right? Not you, other people, right? And we can't keep comparing ourselves to other people because you're not them, and odds are they're probably comparing themselves to you. Think about that. Like, you're a lot more awesome than you think you are. And if you think you're awesome, you're not as awesome as you think you are. Just balance in this place, you know? Balance. Contentment and worry, I don't believe that they can coexist. I think it's kind of a lightness and darkness thing. As soon as the light switch comes on, darkness leaves the room. As soon as contentment comes on, worry leaves the room. Like, we're not worried when we're content. So find contentment with where you're at. If you are worried about what you have or don't have, you're not content with where you are, and ultimately, you're not content with the one who gives you what you have, which kind of leads us to the anti-venom or the anti-venin. So as it is with toxins in the body, there's usually a countermeasure or something that they can give you to combat or fight the toxic or the poison or whatever that's you know, causing all the problems that it's causing. And I think the anti-venin in this case to the thought, if only blank, is Jesus, man. Like, I know this is so cliche and it's so cheesy, but we really do. I'm just convinced, and I've lived this and I have an experience with this, that there is an emptiness inside of us. There was this great evangelistic tool that they used in the 1980s to reach people, and they were like, you have a God-shaped hole in your heart that only Jesus can fill. And that was, at some point, it was almost like a joke because it became so laughable, but it's so true. Like, I had this God-shaped hole in my heart that only Jesus can fill. You remember the kids' puzzles where you had to take the shapes and put them into the holes? Well, we always try to fill the hole with something that doesn't fit into the, it's not the right shape to fit into the hole. There's one thing, there's one person that can fit into the hole, and it's Jesus. And that's where our contentment is born. That's the foundation of our contentment. It's Jesus. Like, that's it. Dude, try anything else. Listen, go do some research. Take 2 years. Live like an idiot. Find all of the things that you want to do. Pursue pleasure. Do whatever it is that you want to do, and you'll come back in 2 years, and you won't be content. But if you live like you're called and created and purposed to live by God, come back in 2 years, and you'll have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You tell me. So I think that if Jesus is the most important thing in your life, the most important person in your life, it's a foundation of contentment. We realize that what he gives us is what we can handle. Right? I was feeling that one. What he gives us is what we can handle. What he gives us is what we can be trusted with. And so if maybe you don't have more than you think you should have, maybe you can't be trusted with what you've got. So why would I give my son in 6 years when he turns 16 the keys to a brand new Z06? Ain't no way, right? Because he's going to wrap it around the telephone pole at 190 miles an hour. Just wow. I can't trust him with that. He's going to get a beater. He's going to get something that's huge and metal that he can smash into stuff. Like, hopefully he won't, but if he does, it's all good. Until he proves that I can trust him, and then we'll talk, right? Why would God give you more than he can trust you with? What you've got is probably what he can trust you with at this moment. And sometimes, like, with respect to, like, our struggles, like, God only gives you as much as he knows you can handle, and he trusts you with it. And I'm like, sometimes I wish God wouldn't trust me so much. Yeah. So these are all, I'm sorry, we realize that as our Father, that he'll provide for our needs and take care of us as his children. Man, if you read Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6, you see this sentiment kind of echoed over and over again, that he cares for us. He's a father, and he's like a father gives good gifts to his children. Jesus was kind of, I think he was witty and funny, and he said,
what father, which one among you, if you're a dad out there, like raise up your hands. Like just imagine I'm Jesus. I'm not, but you're the dads. I'm like, how many of you guys are dads? This is a good time to raise your hand if you're a dad. All right, cool. Hey, how many of you guys, if your son wanted a present, you'd give him a snake instead of like some real food to eat? And Jesus is waiting on like a drum roll, right? And so the point was, he just kind of went on and on about ways that fathers care for their children. And he's like, and God is the ultimate father. And he cares for and provides for his children. So if we realize all of this, it will help us to be content. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says this. And this is so funny because you've probably heard this verse, but you've only heard the end of this verse. Because this is how I learned Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It says, at the end, it says, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. But at the beginning, funny how we leave this out, it says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content. Whoops, we skipped that one in church, didn't we? Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And it's just, it's interesting, there's such a direct correlation. There's a because in this verse. Don't get sucked into this trap where you love money. Be content because God has said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He's the one that brings contentment. Don't get sucked into this lie over here that things will make you happy, because they won't. Don't get sucked into the lie that the right person will make you happy, because the honeymoon ends soon. Very soon. Right? I mean, Shelly, we're still on our honeymoon 14 years later. It's awesome. But most people, their honeymoon is over, like, on their honeymoon, like, whatever. Just don't get sucked into all of the things, thinking anything other than Jesus will bring contentment, because that's the only thing that ever satisfies. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. This one is so good. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. Accumulate everything you want to accumulate. Build gargantuan bank accounts if you think that that's what's going to make you happy. Build bigger barns. Do this and do that. But at the end of the day, it's all staying here, and you're not. Right? So godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness is the foundation. And because of the godliness in our life, and because Jesus is the most important thing in our life, we will be content with what we've got. That's not to say that you won't get more in life and do more. Like, you guys understand that. There's a balance. We're not saying that you have to live in poverty. That's by no means. I mean, if you get nice things, just share. That's all I'm asking. But don't let that be the pursuit of your life. Don't let that be the most important. I mean, just imagine if you died right now, what would your legacy be? Would your legacy be your things, or would it be your relationship with God? And out of that, the people that you influence and the lives that were changed because of the way that you lived your life. Think about those things. So this morning, we're going to wrap up. I just want to pray for us that we don't get sucked into this prevalent and predominant mentality in our society where we're always looking for the next thing. Amen? Father, we are just so excited about the truth of your word. God, that it really is truth, and it's refreshing, God, this morning to hear that we have available to us hope and joy and peace and contentment in you. God, I pray that you would help us. Sometimes I think we know things, but we forget what it is that we know. I think we know that things don't satisfy. I think we know at the end of the day that money doesn't really satisfy. I think we know at the end of the day that our relationships aren't the thing that should fully and finally satisfy us. God, that you are the one who satisfies. But God, I think sometimes we forget that, maybe because of the world that we live in or the messages that we're inundated with. But God, I pray that this morning it would just be real to us. We would be reminded again that you are the one who satisfies. You are the one who fills the hole, the emptiness, the void in our life for more. And I pray this morning, God, that we would open ourselves up to more of you. God, that as we leave this place and we go back to our lives and we go back to work and we go back to school and every place that we have to go, that our lives would be open to more of you. God, that we will be sensitive to who it is that you want us to become. That we'll be focused on the right things, focused on things that honor you and help us to become the people that you have made us to be. God, I pray that we would fight tooth and nail against this toxic thought, if only blank. Jesus, we love you so much, and it's in your awesome name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I absolutely love you guys. Thank you so much for coming this morning. Kristen's going to come tell you some stuff that you need to know.
Hello, everybody. Thank y'all for coming. If this is your first time, I want to let you know that